Hello, and welcome to Investing Alpha, a podcast initiative from Amit Kumar Gupta of Android Financial Service Private Limited. If you want to know more about us or invest with us, please visit androidfinancial.com. Android Financial is a SEBI-registered portfolio manager.
This podcast is for informational purposes only. Stock discussed here are only for illustrations and should not be construed as investment advice. Employees and clients of Android Financial may have positions in the stocks mentioned in the podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Investing Alpha. The topic of today's podcast is the new discussion paper released by RBI to regulate NBFC sector. We are recording this on 25th January morning, and this discussion paper was released on 23rd January Friday evening. Now, what RBI has done, they have proposed a scale-based approach to regulate NBFCs, taking into account the rising share in the financial system and a potential risk spillover. Why this is important? Because, you know, over the past decade, 10 years or so, NBFCs have witnessed phenomenal growth from being around 12% of the balance sheet of banks in 2010. They are now almost 25% of the size of the banks. While the development of this NBFC channel has provided a good backup to the economy, but their aggressive and almost unbridled growth have fueled by this lighter regulatory framework that has led to potentially systemic risk. And just to give you an example how much NBFCs have become important, NBFCs have become more and more interconnected with the system. NBFCs currently are the largest net borrowers of funds from the financial system. So at at the end of last quarter, they had like gross payables of about 9 lakh crores and gross receivables of around 1 lakh crores. And they obtained like more half of their funding from all the scheduled commercial banks. Then you have got the AMCs, the mutual funds, the insurance companies who are also lending. Housing finance companies, in fact, are the second largest borrowers of funds from the financial system. Almost like gross payable of 6 lakh crores and gross receivables of half lakh crores as of September 2020. So RBI says that, okay, boss, now the NBFCs have become very important. So we need to regulate them much more tightly to contain the risk. So with that underlying logic, NBFCs will now be bifurcated into four groups: base layer, middle layer, upper layer, and top layer. Now, top layer is sort of, it's an empty kind of a space where RBI has developed the score-based model that it will use to identify NBFCs falling into the top layer bracket. If any NBFCs poses really extreme risk, then only it will be put into this bracket and they will be subjected to significantly higher regulatory and supervisory requirements. Now, just to give an example, like DHFL and ILFS in previous year could be part of this top layer group. So if we exclude this top layer, then the other three layers, the bottommost will be the base layer. Now, in this base layer, any NBFCs which is less than 1000 crore of AUM, which has a type 1 NBFC, you know, all those peer-to-peer lenders, account aggregators, the non-operating financial companies, holding companies, all those will be part of this base layer. And almost 97% of the NBFCs will be actually covered by this, because we have got about 9400 NBFCs, and out of that almost 9200 NBFCs will be covered under this base layer. Then you'll have this middle layer where you'll have your housing finance companies, you will have your SPDs, standalone primary dealers. You will have your IFCs, infrastructure finance companies. You will have your IDFs, infrastructure debt funds. And you will have your CIC, core investment companies. All these will be part of this middle layer. And then the upper layer will be about 25 to 30 NBFCs, where in terms of their asset sizes, they will undergo certain filters of size, interconnectedness, complexity, etc. And the top NBFCs will be included in this upper layer. So in the short term, the proposed changes will have some slight negative impact for few of the NBFCs. But I think in the long run, the impact is positive as it strengthens the balance sheets of these NBFCs through better risk management. Now, when I say the changes will have slight negative impact, how that for that we need to study the discussion paper. So let's just discuss some of the issues or some of the points which are very critical while reading these discussion paper. So one of them is that you for the upper layer NBFCs, now you will have a differential standard asset provisioning method. So it simply means that NBFCs will have to do differential provisioning for different sectors. You need to have a different provisioning. So what they have proposed is that all the NBFCs in the upper layer, for the farm credit and SMEs, it's going to be 0.25. For commercial real estate, it's going to be 1%. For real estate, residential, it's going to be 0.75, etc., etc. So what will happen is that, for example, a NBFC, which have a significant portfolio under agri or farm or SMEs, such as like, for example, M&M Financials or Magma or any other NBFC which is agri based, then that is positive for them. But for NBFC, let's say for example a Piramal Enterprises, which has a substantial exposure to commercial real estate, it will be a slightly negative in that sense. Then there is another point which says that all the NBFCs in the upper layer needs to keep a 9% CET1 capital. Now, that is not a big change because earlier it used to be 10%. Now it is 9%. So that does not seem to be a challenge to me because most of the NBFCs in the upper layer will in any case fulfill that criteria. And this point is not applicable to the lower NBFCs in the middle layer and in the base layer. Then I think one of the other key changes which is proposed in the discussion paper, and that is very widely debated and discussed across the social media, was that the IPO financing has been capped. So what used to happen is that NBFCs were very active in financing the IPOs. So you used to get these big subscription numbers whenever a new and popular and a good IPO used to come. Now, there was a limit for the banks. The limit was 10 lakh per PAN, basically. So per customer, you can apply maximum of 10 lakh of leverage. Whereas for NBFCs, there was no limit per person. So now what they have done is that they have put a ceiling of 1 CR per individual for the middle layer and the upper layer NBFCs. And since the existing regulation does not put any instructions, so that automatically means that all those NBFCs who were big in IPO financing, they take a hit. Okay, so for example, Bajaj Finance, JM Financial, IIFL, Kotak Prime, all these are big in IPO financing. So there, that will be a sort of a hit to their profitability. Another minor changes are there, like the core banking solution needs to be made mandatory for all the middle layer and upper layer NBFC that have more than 10 branches. So that is mostly because to improve transparency, efficiency, reducing the scope for fraudulent activities, etc. And one more change which has been proposed is that all the upper layer NBFCs, they need to follow the same remuneration policy as applicable for private sector banks. So currently there were no as such prescribed norms for these NBFCs, but this could increase HR cost for a lot of NBFCs that have sort of low employee cost at this point of time. Apart from that, there is one minor change where the commercial real estate and the capital market exposure in NBFCs, there has been a limit imposed on approving their internal limits on how much they can lend to the sectors, other sectors to the economy. So overall, I think the paper is good in the sense that it takes out a little bit of froth from the system, and the good NBFCs in any case will be able to adapt it. There could be some problem at the real bottommost NBFCs, but in any case that is expected. We expect not a lot of these NBFCs are going to survive in the long run. So we expect a lot of consolidation happening in the NBFC space. But we need to see, when these regulations will be approved, because they have given 1 month for the discussions and providing the comments. Once the comments are in, they are going to take another 45 days or 1 month to finalize this. So probably from 1st of April, this can be implemented. And my sense is that it is again a very good positive factor for some of the top NBFCs in the Indian financial system, whereas it may not be a great news for some of the lower NBFCs where the funding who were big in IPO funding, who were big in lending in the commercial real estate space. So that's it. Thank you for listening. Until the next time, goodbye and take care.
Thank you for listening to Investing Alpha, podcast initiative from Amit Kumar Gupta of Adroit Financial Services Private Limited. Please connect on @AmitGupta03101 on Twitter for more market-related updates.